you know every single person, every single human being who has ever walked this earth and who does walk this earth, all has the same deep down longing and craving. Every man, every woman, every child, I've found in myself, I see this craving in myself. I see it in my kids. I see it in my family, my friends. Those that are born into poverty, those that are born into wealth, those that are born into everything in between. Every single person is born with the same ache, longing, and craving in their heart. Do you know that healthy relationships, that good health, that a great lifestyle, an amazing place to live, meaningful work, these things may mask this deep craving, but they will never satisfy or fulfill them. This craving is for love. And love has a name, and his name is Jesus. And that's what this series is about, is that Christmas has a name. And today I'm talking about love, that love has a name. His name is Jesus. He is the one that we are all longing for and craving for. You know, Christmas Day is the day that the world was waiting for. It was the day that love came down. And I believe it's the day that many are still waiting for. They're still waiting and longing for that love. They don't know where to find it. And you know, often we can be, though we have received Jesus' love, we can still be longing for it and aching for it because we are looking for it in the wrong place. We are still longing for love to come down. You know, that love has a name, and his name is Jesus. Do you know, the wonder of it all, the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of the virgin birth and the fact that God clothed himself as man and was born as a baby, like the wonder of it all, I just love Christmas. I love the lead into Christmas. I love that Christmas trees and Santa and mince tarts and all of that are thrown in there too. I just think that that's great. I know that there are lots of people that think that that's kind of sacrilegious, but I think it's awesome. We love Santa in our house. And I was so gutted yesterday. Violet said to me, there is no such thing as Santa. And this is our baby girl who's 5. And we're like, what? And I heard Joel say, yes, there is. Like, who told you that? And she goes, well, my cousin Lola, who's 6. My cousin Lola told me that there's no such thing as Santa. And Joel was saying, no. Violet, there is. And she goes, no, Papa, Lola's been to more countries than you. She's smarter than you is. Lola is pretty amazing. And so now we're desperately trying to get Santa back into our household at the moment. But really, it's not just the trees and the lights and the Christmas tarts and the Santa that keeps me so captivated with Christmas. It's the fact that I'm reminded of the day that Jesus knocked on the door of my heart and his love came in and transformed my life. And I'm just so aware that so many live without that knowledge, without that fulfilling of their being. And so if you're writing notes, I just want you to write down, Jesus is my portion. Jesus is my portion. It's my favorite song on our album. In Psalm 16, verse 5 says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. You know, the word portion in Hebrew, it actually translates to a lot of land. It translates to someone's field, to their inheritance. It was like the entire place that they lived. It was their lot. And I love that because so often I can think of the word portion and I think that I get like a portion of Jesus. Like I get a bit of him, but this word translates saying that their entire land that they live off, that they live from, everything that they need, that was their portion. And so I love that that's what the scripture is calling out to us, that Jesus is our portion. He's not a portion of what we need. He is the entirety of what we need. He is our portion. You know, Jesus, he isn't a one-drink wonder, like some of my aunties. He is, if you know what that means. He isn't a one-drink wonder. Jesus, you know, when you give your life to him, you receive his love. It's not like you just receive it the one time and then you're good. You know, his love is something we need to keep on going back and going back and going back to. He's not a one drink, one time kind of a God because he's a relational God and he longs for that love and that connection with us. And so for me, you know, because I need to be going back to him regularly for love, you know, when I don't do that, I start to feel this love and this craving start to come back, start to come inside my being. And do you know what we do in that moment? Is that we can turn to our relationships to fulfill that. You know, I can turn to Joel, I can turn to my family, I can turn to my friends to fulfill this deep craving within my soul, but they were never meant to be able to fulfill it. And I just think that it's such an unfair burden that we might put on somebody that they were supposed to be everything that we need. And I think that's such a lie. You know, it's often sold that your husband or your wife is that they become everything that you need, and it's just not true. They were never meant to do that, and it's a really unfair burden to put on them. And when we start to get this craving because we're not going to Jesus, what happens is we get this the wrong way. We start to look to our loved ones for a fulfillment and to Jesus as an added blessing, but it's the other way around. We look to Jesus for our fulfillment of our heart, and then we release our loved ones to be the blessing that they were meant to be. You know, all the good things in our life are supposed to be an added blessing from an already full heart, from turning to the one who is love. It makes sense to go to Jesus for love because he is love. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus. And if we're not going to him, we start turning to our loved ones. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is just wanting to set some people free. He wants you to set free the burden that you've placed on others in your life to fulfill a need that they were never meant to fulfill. Nobody wins that game. Nobody wins that game, and it's unfair. You know, Joel and I, it's our 12th year wedding anniversary today, actually. Yeah, great. Love to share my anniversary with hundreds and hundreds of people. It's good. You know, we just the other day were like, actually, we've never done this five love languages thing. And so we did it, and I found out that he's a quality time guy. I didn't know that. But what I find can be quite unhelpful is that there's this language that we use that, you know, you need to fill my love tank. Like, it's quite this consumeristic thing, like, fill my tank. And I think that we can bring this into our relationships, that it's, we put this pressure and this burden on them that they weren't meant to carry. Whereas actually, I do believe that we can love each other better. And that's what this book and this thing is talking about, is that there are a way that we all feel loved differently. And so it's good to work on that. But if I'm looking only to him to fill my tank, he cannot do it. He cannot do it, and nobody wins that game. We need to know where to turn, and more to the point, who to turn to. That's Jesus. You know, we need to release our loved ones to be the added blessing that they are. I love in Proverbs 18, verse 22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." In other translations, it says, receives a blessing from the Lord. I love this in particular because it says it about a wife. It actually doesn't say it about a husband. I look through the scripture. It never says, "She who finds a husband finds a blessing." I just thought I'd point that out. It's quite funny to me, really. Maybe it's because the writer didn't see himself as a blessing to his wife, and the fact that he had, you know, hundreds of concubines, I'd say he wasn't. So we'll leave it at that. Stick to your notes, Katie Milgate. When we truly grasp the fact that love has a name, his name is Jesus, when we fully grasp the fact that he is the love we are craving for and looking for, when we fully grasp the fact that there is no supplement, that there is no replacement for their love, for his love, then we can release everything else to be the added blessing that it was intended to be. If you want a satisfied life, then go to Jesus. I don't know any problem where his love won't fix it. I don't know any problem. He is love himself. If you want a satisfied life, release everybody and release your work. Release everything to be the blessing that it was intended to be. Every time you feel empty, don't turn to your loved ones. Turn to Jesus first. Sometimes I feel like saying to people, you need Jesus. Stop putting that burden on them, you know? Sort yourself out. Then come. I want to be a blessing, you know? Not just like the fulfillment of all your needs. Sounds way better. Okay, great. He's our portion. He's your portion. Everything you need, your entire portion, he's where you go. My second point, and you can write this down, my portion is big enough to share. My portion is big enough to share. You know, everyone is looking for this love. which is Jesus himself. And I think we need to understand that we are also the carriers of this love. The crazy thing is that Jesus, when he came and he walked this earth, it was beautiful because then he revealed what love really was, or more to the point, who love was. And then when he was raised back into heaven, he chose you and I as his tools to continue to share his love with a humanity that desperately craves it. Isn't that crazy? I love in Colossians 1 verse 27, it's one of my favorite scriptures, isn't it? It says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." Christ lives in you. Therefore, his love lives in you. Therefore, every time you show love, you show Jesus himself. We have a world that is longing and craving and turning to absolutely everything, trying to fill a void and a space in their heart that nothing, even the best things the world has to offer, cannot fill it except Jesus himself. And the scripture says that Christ lives in you. Therefore, his love lives in you. Therefore, you have the solution. You have something to offer. You know, I find the most effective question I can ask myself when I'm with others is, how can I love this person right now? How can I show love to them? And at first, my mind wandered off to all of their needs, and it was almost too big of a need to fill. And so then I started asking myself, how can I love this person with the time that I have and with what I have? Because loving somebody when I have 2 minutes and $5 in my pocket is different to how I can love somebody if I have 2 hours and $200 in my pocket, if you know what I mean. And so it's just about saying, okay, with what I have right now, with the wisdom I have right now, with the experience I have right now, with the money I have right now, how can I love this person effectively? If you ask yourself that question, you're going to end up sharing that love. You are a carrier. You are a carrier of Jesus Christ, who is love himself. You know, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but in this church, we get to do amazing things for our community. We have this area in this church called Beyond Us, and it's all about helping people locally and globally. It's incredible. You know, at the moment, we're working towards giving away 1,000 bags of food, our gift of groceries, and it's such an amazing thing that we do. The stories of that's 1,000 families, elderly and individual, that received a gift at Christmas of food. It's incredible. And in the middle of the year, we did this warm up the streets, and we gave 2,500 packs of clothes, of warm clothes, to local kids who needed it. And a little while later, my mum, who's here, who's awesome, she went to our community meal in Arataki, and she sat next to a little girl, and mum's awesome like that, awesome at talking to little kids. And she told her that we go to church, and she said, "Curate church." And the little girl goes, "Oh, you gave me this. You gave me this T-shirt." And then mum saw it and was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right, we did." And she goes, "They believe in me," and showed her little tag. And the little tag says, "Curate Church, we believe in you." And I just, you know, guys, we cannot underestimate that the love that we show leaves an imprint on people, because it's Jesus himself. And people will only come to know him, they'll come to the church, when they start to experience a love that is fulfilling, a love that offers something of substance, whereas every other place that they've gone to has offered them nothing. Nothing dressed up and disguised as love can satisfy. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is your portion, and your portion is big enough to share. In Romans 8, verse 16, I'll actually come back to that. First, I'll share about this amazing story I heard. It was this Russian girl, and she was this incredible gymnast, and she was born with no legs, and she was adopted into a family, and so she didn't know her biological family. And incredible, this girl had such determination. She played basketball, she was phenomenal, she was just an incredible gymnast. She was top in her state in America, amazing, no legs, she was incredible. And she had this idol of this Russian gymnast, and she was her idol. She had her posters on her wall. Everything was about this girl. She was who she looked up to. And her parents started to notice that there was just uncanny similarities between their daughter that they adopted and this girl. And they looked into it, and they were actually sisters. Amazing. And I just find, I love that the part where the mother, the adopted mother said, okay, I'm going to tell you who your family is. You need to sit down. And she goes, Mum, I'm always sitting. Why don't you sit down? I thought that was so great. She's such a cool girl. And her mother told her who her family was and who her sister was. And I just think, isn't it incredible that there is something about this girl? There was something inside of her who she recognized her DNA. She recognized. She couldn't understand it, but she recognized her. And in Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And so when we share, when we offer love, true love to somebody, and we offer Jesus himself, I believe every time we do, a transaction is made between Jesus and their spirit. I know this because every time I've been a part of giving and showing love, some they always say, like, why did you do that? They're a little taken back. They're trying to figure it out. I believe it's because this, in their spirit, they recognize Jesus, who is their Savior, who is their Lord. They recognize God, their Father, just like this girl. It was an amazing story, who could recognize, she could sense it was her family. I believe when we show love, which is Christ himself, they sense, oh, this is right. This is family. This is something. And guys, this is what's going to draw people into the church. This is what's going to draw people to Jesus, where they have their life transformed. The world aches and craves for this love, which is Jesus. And we carry that love. We are carriers of it.